Wise up. Today we're going to be talking about something really important, and that is wise up about addictions. Wise up about addictions. Please take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And today we're going to talk about the subject of addictions. And the good news is there's lots of great information in Proverbs to help us not be a fool in this area, but to wise up in this area. And today what we're actually going to do is we're going to do a line-by-line study of Proverbs 23, verses 19 through 21. So we're going to go through these verses, and we're going to break them down line-by-line and learn about what it is to wise up when it comes to addictions. Now, let me talk generally about addictions before we get into our outline. I want to talk about addictions. And one of the biggest things I want to talk about as we begin is, as we go through this today, I don't want you to be thinking about, wow, you know, this person I know really needs to hear that message. You know, man, they're here, and I'm glad they're hearing this stuff. Or, boy, I wish so-and-so was here today to hear this message or whatever. No, guess what? Every single one of us deal with addictions. Every single one of us deal with addictions. And basically, what are addictions? Addictions are life-dominating sins. They are life-dominating sins. They are sins that we find very, very difficult to say no to. They are sins that dominate our lives. They usually start out very slow because that's how the enemy is with us. He tells us, you know, just a little won't hurt you. Or nobody's going to find out. Or, you know, this is going to make you feel really good. And the enemy begins to slowly but surely take us in this direction of moving from just trying something to now being controlled by that something. It becomes a life-dominating sin. And every single one of us struggle. We struggle with everything from alcohol to adultery. From Facebook to food, from porn to prescription drugs, from marijuana to money, from worry to work, from cocaine to coke, from lying to laziness, from sugar to smoking. I mean, all of these and many more could be mentioned. Sex to shopping, and the list could go on and on. We could easily double that list, okay? What I'm trying to do right now is get everybody to have buy-in to listening today, okay? In case you're wondering what I'm up to, okay? Because some of you are thinking, you know, I'm not a drunk. I'm okay when it comes to addiction. Somebody else needs to hear this message. No, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Listen to me. Please understand, the enemy has an agenda for your life. And that agenda is very clearly laid out in John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy, Satan, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, okay? And you know what? To accomplish that, he doesn't have to get all of us hooked on alcohol. Facebook can work. Facebook can keep us from doing what we should do. Facebook can keep us from doing our work that somebody's paying for us to do. Facebook can keep us from spending time with human beings in person, okay, like our spouse or whatever, or our kids or whatever. I mean, anything that can dominate your life is a sin, is an addiction, is an addiction. And the enemy is looking at every one of us saying, okay, what can I do to Steve Reynolds? To get Steve Reynolds to be in a position where I can kill him, okay, destroy him, you know, mess him up. And he's looking. He's looking. And I tried alcohol, but that didn't work, okay? You know, I tried pornography, but that didn't work or whatever, okay? Do you think he's just going to roll over and say, well, I guess nothing's going to work? No, you know. I'll go with food. I'll go with this. I'll go with that. You know, I'll find something. I'll find something. And so please understand today that you are an addict, okay? You are an addict, and so am I. And here is the good news. There's some great help here in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19. It begins with this, "Hear, my son, and be wise." Now, I just want to stop there, and I want to highlight the fact that what you got going on here is you got a dad, okay, talking to his son. Let's just stop there, a dad talking to his son. Dads, do you talk to your kids? Grandfathers, do you talk to your kids? And he's talking to his son about things that matter. And one of the things that matters is addiction. Is addiction. So you got to understand, you know, we have to talk to our kids about things that matter. We got to talk to our grandchildren about things that matter. And we can talk about things that don't matter too, building relationships, but we got to make sure we warn them. You know, sin has always been around, okay? Sin has always been around, but it's never been so easily accessible, okay? It's never, I mean, listen, you know, if a kid, a teenager boy wanted to find a Playboy, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, you could make it happen, okay? But it wasn't easy to do, okay? It wasn't easy to do. Today, it's all around us, okay? It's easily accessible. It's right there for us to see or whatever, okay? That's the world we're living in. That's the world we're struggling with today. And we have to talk to our kids about this stuff. We have to bring this stuff up to them and talk with them about that. And so he says, "Hear, my son, be wise. Be wise." He's saying, son, don't be a fool by becoming an addict. Don't be a fool by becoming an addict. And yes, even with talking to them, sometimes our kids are going to go down that road, okay? And they're going to struggle. And that's part of parenting, okay? That's part of the world we're living in as parents and grandparents today. And he begins to talk to him and says, listen, guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Wow. Proverbs 23 has a lot to say about addiction. In fact, verses 1 through 3 talks about addiction to food. Verses 4 and 5 talk about being addicted to work in the sense that you just work trying to get rich. There's much more that we're going to look at later at the end of the chapter here, a whole running passage, verses 29 through 35, continuing to talk about alcohol. This is a great chapter focusing on the topic of addiction. And the whole book of Proverbs, you know, talks about this. And today we're going to look at the two that are mentioned in this passage, but the good news is much more is said about other things in other places. So what does this say to us here about wising up when it comes to addiction? Because what the father says to him is, "Hear, my son, be wise, be wise." He says, "Son, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about addiction, and I don't want you to be a fool. I want you to be wise. I want you to be wise." And here's what he says to him: Number one, son, understand the cause. Understand the cause of addiction. He says here, "Hear, my son, be wise, guide your heart in the way. Guide your heart in the way." Now, this is really, really important, okay? Bottom line is we got to get to the root of addiction. Too many times we deal with the symptoms. Too many times we deal with the outward. We got to deal with the inward. The bottom line is this: addiction is about what's in your heart, not about what's in your hand. It's about what's in your heart, not about what's in your hand. Too many times we're focusing on the outward, focusing on, you know, what's in my hand, okay? I mean, I got, you know, this big Krispy Kreme donut in my hand, okay? I got a problem with Krispy Kreme donuts, okay? And we look at what's in our hand. I got this, you know, this pot in my hand, this marijuana in my hand, this weed in my hand, okay? Okay, you know, we think about the hand. I mean, I'm using my mouse or whatever, and I'm finding this porn or whatever. It's in my hand. I'm drinking this, you know, beer or whatever. It's in my hand or whatever. Okay, don't focus on your hand. Focus on your heart. He begins by saying, "Guide your heart in the way. Guide your heart in the way." Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Every day, every hour, every minute, work on your heart. Be diligent about your heart. Why? Because out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. Out of your heart spring the issues of life. And so I have to look at my heart. I have to work on my heart. That's why he's telling his son, "Son, listen, guide your heart in the way. Make sure your heart is going in the right direction." Now, Jeremiah 17:9 tells us we're going to have a struggle with our heart. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We're going to struggle with a deceitful heart. We're going to struggle with a desperately wicked heart. Our heart's going to try to deceive us. Our heart's going to try to tell us, buy that lottery ticket. You know, you may make the big win, okay, you know. Well, you didn't know that you were going to get hooked on that, okay. You know, go ahead and go after that relationship, you know. Go ahead and go after that, you know. But you didn't know that it was going to destroy your life. You didn't know that. You didn't know that. And your heart is deceitful. You know, your heart tells you just a little won't hurt. And your heart tells you, nobody's going to find out. And your heart tells you, oh, this is going to make you feel so good. And this is going to make your life so much better. We got to watch out for a deceitful heart. Because the Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. We're not basically good. We're totally bad, okay? The Bible calls that depravity. We are depraved, meaning we're sinners, okay? We are sinners. We struggle with our sin nature. Now, in trying to solve that problem, the first step is to be saved, to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. This is the beginning of getting a new heart. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? You will be saved." Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from hell. And the Bible says if you want to be saved, saved from hell, you got to do two things. You got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You have to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, okay? God is a perfect gentleman. He will not kick down the door of your heart. But if you will open it up, he will gladly come in. And you have to confess that. You have to ask him for that. You have to ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. And in doing so, you have to believe in your heart. Believe means to trust, to put trust in, to believe in. And you have to believe in, you have to trust in this. You have to trust that, listen, that Jesus was raised from the dead. And what that means is that Jesus paid the penalty, the price for your sin. Our penalty, our price for sin is hell. To be saved from hell, he paid the price. And the Bible tells us that, and we're celebrating this right now, okay, during this season. He left heaven, he came to earth. That's called the incarnation. He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save those that were lost. Who is lost? That's every one of us. He lived a perfect, holy life, never sinning one time. And he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And he was nailed to a cross as payment for our sin. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the grave, victorious. And that's why we have to believe that he raised him from the dead, okay? Because, we don't get to heaven because Jesus died. We can get to heaven because Jesus came out of the grave, okay? That he resurrected, okay? That he resurrected. And the Bible says when you do that, that starts the heart transformation, okay? But listen, that is not the end of addiction, is it? Is that the end of addiction? No, that's not the end of addiction. Okay, listen, here's the difference. I'll never forget this. This probably happened to me 20 years ago. I'll never forget this moment. I had the privilege to lead this guy to the Lord, and I told him just what I'm telling you, and he made a decision. He wanted to accept Christ in his heart, and I had the privilege to lead him on a prayer of salvation, and he prayed and accepted Christ, and he came in telling me about all these addictions and all these problems, all these things he was struggling with, all this temptation. And I just wanted to make sure he understood when he walked out that he was still going to struggle with those things. And I'll never forget what this guy said to me. I'll never forget it. He said, listen, there's a difference though. I won't have to do it alone. I won't have to do it alone. Praise God. You get God on your team, okay? You have Jesus Christ in you, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world, okay? And we need to recognize that. We need to understand that. So quit looking at your hand, okay? Okay, quit looking at your hand. Look into your heart. Ultimately, we got to understand that idolatry is the cause of addiction. Idolatry is the cause of addiction. Listen, until we understand the root cause, you're never going to get victory. Do you understand that? Until you understand what it is you are an idolater in that area. Okay, here is an area where you are disobeying Matthew 22, which says, Jesus answered the question, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Okay, and anything that doesn't fit into all is idolatry. Anything that you don't, listen, if you're not all in on something, okay, if you're not all in on loving God, that is an area of idolatry. That is an area where you are not properly worshiping God. Romans 1:25 put it this way, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature, little c, that means us, rather than the creator, big C, meaning God, who is blessed forever and ever. See, basically, addiction is a worship disorder. It is worshiping self. It is worshiping the little c, you know, the created, that's you and me, rather than fully worshiping the creator. I want to read to you from last week's growth guide. And this was an awesome growth guide, by the way, okay? I'd love to be in on some of the discussions about this growth guide here, okay? But I want to read to you, I don't know who this Ed Welch guy is, okay? I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I assume he's a good guy, okay? But I know I like this quote of his in our growth guide. He says, an addiction is a worship disorder. Instead of worshiping the divine king, capital K, addicts worship idols that temporarily satisfy physical desire. You could do a whole sermon on this right here. Okay, just break these words down here. An addiction is a worship disorder. Instead of worshiping the divine king, addicts worship idols that temporarily satisfy physical desire. I would add to physical, I would put emotional, I put a lot of things in that category, okay? Desires, okay? Lots of different desires could be fit into that little statement there, okay? But it's serving the creature, it's serving self rather than the creator. Ezekiel 14, I love this, says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, these men have, underline the statement, set up their idols in their hearts. Underline that. These men have set up their idols in their hearts. What idol has been set up in your heart? And put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore, say to the house of Israel, okay, it's the preacher's job to say this to us, okay? See, I listen about 3 or 4 sermons every week because I need somebody to preach to me, okay? We need preaching. All of us need preaching. We need to preach in the Word of God, okay? And it's the job of a preacher to say, thus says the Lord, okay? And here's what he tells Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet. He was a preacher. He says, Ezekiel, you tell them people in Israel, okay? Thus says the Lord, repent, turn away from your idols. Underline that. Repent, turn away from your idols. Turn away. Repent means to go in a different direction. To go in a different direction. Repent, repent, repent. Go in a different direction. Turn away from your idols. What are your idols? What are your life-dominating sins, which in today's culture we might call addictions? What are they? And will you turn away from them today? Will you repent of them today? Listen, until you do that, you're never going to find victory. As long as you're dealing with the symptoms, that's all you're dealing with, you're never going to deal with the root cause. You're never going to get victory, okay? You got to go after it. It's your heart is the problem. It's an idol in your life. It's something that God does not want in your life. You know God doesn't want you doing that, but you keep on doing it. Why? Because you're worshiping yourself rather than worshiping him. The son is told by his dad, guide your heart in the way. Guide your heart in the way. Number two, avoid the companions. Avoid the companions. He says, do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Key word is the word there, mix. It's talking about companions. It's talking about people you mix with, people you hang out with, okay? You got to avoid the companions. You got to avoid the companions. You know, yes, we sometimes sin by ourselves. Some of us, I mean, there's people in here right now that are struggling with certain sins, and it's true. You do it by yourself, and nobody even knows. That is definitely true, okay? But I would say the majority of our sin, at least when it starts, okay, we do it with somebody else, okay? I mean, the first cigarette I ever smoked, I didn't smoke many because I never did like that, okay, at all, okay? I didn't do it by myself. I did it with somebody else. First time I was ever exploring, first time I ever saw pornography, okay, I went with friends to a porn movie, okay, do not fire me, please, okay, whatever, okay. The first time I ever drank alcohol, I did it with other people, okay. That's typically how it starts, okay, it's typically how it begins. And we got to understand the people we're with influence us. That's why when I look back on my life, the most critical decision I might have ever made, okay, was a decision I made my senior year of high school that I had to walk away from my childhood friends, okay, friends I'd grown up with. But it just wasn't working, okay, for my spiritual life. I mean, it just wasn't moving in the right direction. And I had to make a decision. And I made that decision. And I went through a period of intense loneliness where I didn't have any friends, okay? But God eventually gave me some great friends, okay? Friends that would help me to be what I needed to be as a man of God, okay? So you got to understand your companions will determine your character and destiny. Your companions will determine your character and destiny. The Bible is clear. It says if you walk with wise men, you're going to be wise. You want to be wise? You want to have that as your character? You want to have that as your destiny? You got to walk with wise men. But if you have, there's that word, companion. You know, we're talking about avoid the companions. If you have a companion of fools, you hang out with a bunch of fools, what's your character and destiny going to be like? You're going to be destroyed, okay? You're going to be destroyed. That's going to be your character. You're a fool. And your destiny is going to be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:33, so clear. It says, do not be deceived. Some of you are deceived. You're thinking, oh, you know, those people are really on the influence of me. Oh, those people aren't really having an impact on me. You're deceiving yourself. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do you understand that? You want to have good habits in your life? Get the right companions. Get the right company in your life. Because if you hang around with evil people, you know, it's going to make you evil. It's going to make you evil. You got to understand that. You got to realize that. And so I came to the realization, like I told you, you know, if I couldn't change my companions, I tried, you know. then I had to change my companions. And I did, okay? I changed those companions. And I am so glad I made that decision. So glad. Proverbs 1 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." If sinners entice you, do not consent. "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." My son, if sinners entice you, if you have companions in your life that are enticing you to sin, don't consent. In fact, and I want you to read the whole passage later on if you would like to, okay? I'm trying to summarize these two points, but this is the theme of the whole passage. "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot far from their path." Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully." Choose your friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. He says, son, listen, don't mix with them. Don't mix with them. A while back, I did a series called Tempted. And if you're struggling in this area, I would invite you to go to capitalbaptist.org. And there's a little tab over there that says, listen to messages. And it's about like 4 years of messages there with all the study guides. And there's a Tempted series. And I did a whole message called Tempted by Relationships. And if you're struggling in this area, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that whole message and do that study guide, okay? Because this is very important. If you're going to wise up when it comes to addictions, you got to avoid the companions. Number three, you got to identify the categories. You have to identify the categories. Now, let me quickly say again that I'm telling you Proverbs deals with pretty much every addiction, okay? But I'm trying to stick to this text here today, okay? To be blunt with you, I never saw this text the way I saw it till 2 weeks ago. This is one incredible text here, okay? I mean, this is unbelievable, okay? This lays it out so perfectly, what to do with addiction, okay? This is classic. This is so important, okay? So I want to stay with my text, okay? And I'm going to just deal with two, okay? So if you're okay on both of these, don't think you're okay because you're not, okay? Okay, but let's deal with two of them that are important, okay? The first one is alcohol. Alcohol. Proverbs talks a lot about alcohol, and well it should, because indeed it's serious. Now, let me just say something before I get into that, okay? Unfortunately, what we do is we take alcohol and we magnify this, and if you ask people, a lot of people when they hear addiction, they think alcohol, because right? That's kind of how our culture goes. And it's big. It truly is big. And I'm glad we try to work on that one, okay? That's good. The problem is most of us think we're okay over here, okay? Do you understand that worry is an addiction for a lot of you? Do you understand the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin, and worry is a lack of faith, it's sin? Do you understand the Bible tells us without faith it's impossible to please God? And when you're worrying, you're not pleasing God. Do you understand Philippians 4 verse 6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, to have zero tolerance for worry? And so some of you over here saying, I'm not a drunk or whatever, you know, I'm a worry wart, okay? And you think you're okay. You're not okay. You might be in worse shape than the drunk from God's perspective. Don't look at me that way, okay? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Be anxious for nothing, okay? And so many of you are totally addicted to worry, 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 okay? It's sin, okay? Alcohol is important to focus on, okay? Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." At the end of Proverbs 23, let's go over there. Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35, deals with alcohol. And it just talks about the description of it. It talks about the results of it in so many lives. It says, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions?" Arguments, things like that, conflict. "Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes?" These are questions, 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 questions. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. You got to understand the Bible, the word wine is used, there's like 8 or 10 different words for wine, okay? Here's the answer. Very simple answer. Don't look at it, okay? Don't look at it. Don't even look at it. Much less taste it or use it. Don't even look at it when it's ripped. And listen to the description, when it sparkles in the cup. Just think about, you know, the image of alcohol and just how it's portrayed. I mean, you know, just watch the bottles are so beautiful and they, you know, you see it being poured in and splashing around in the cup and all this stuff or whatever, okay? Where do you think all that comes from, okay? It's not God, okay? It's not God. It swirls around smoothly. But listen, at the last, it bites like a serpent. It stings like a snake, a viper. Your eyes are going to see some strange things. Your heart's going to utter lots of pervert stuff. Get a person drunk, they're a pervert. They start talking like perverts. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. And then here, verse 35, part B, what a vivid, vivid, just heart-wrenching description of addiction. When shall I awake that I may seek it again, that I may seek another drink? Starts out, you know, man, it's good, right? Okay, it's beautiful. It goes down smooth, all that stuff, okay? But then people get addicted to it, don't they? And you could just fill in the blank there, okay? When I awake, I'm going to seek Facebook again for 10 hours, okay? I'm going to seek a dozen donuts, okay? Or like my friend Greg, I'm going to seek 24 Cokes a day, okay? I'm going to seek it yet again. That's addiction, okay? Even though you're having all these consequences, all these negative things happening to it, because you're addicted, you seek it yet again. It's your idol. It's your life-dominating sin, okay? He warns him about alcohol. Second category is food. I find this verse to be very interesting, okay? He says, listen, don't mix with winebibbers. Don't mix with gluttonous eaters of meat. Proverbs has a lot to say about addiction. In fact, verses 1 through 3, Proverbs 23, 1 through 3, starts out talking about overeating, okay? Which we'll talk about one of those verses in just a second, okay? But as we look at this, what we got to understand is the culture we live in today, the church culture we live in today. And we have a church culture that basically where preachers are getting up and they're hooping and hollering about alcohol, and that's fine. Don't have any problem with that at all, okay? But they're fat, okay? Their bellies are laying over on the pulpit, okay? The whole time they're screaming and yelling about alcohol, they got gravy dripping down their chin, okay? I knew somebody like that. Me, okay? Me, you know. And it's become our acceptable sin, you know? And we can, in fact, we can get all excited about it. We can have a church party where we eat with gluttonous eaters of meat, okay? We can celebrate it. You know, we can go to a buffet where big, unhealthy, fat folks eat together. Buffet, big, unhealthy. All right, let's move on. Okay, let's go on now. We can go to the buffet or whatever. Okay? Do you know this? Okay? Do you know that Christians are the most overweight people in America? Do you know that Baptists are the fattest people in America? Okay? Did you know that? Well, we are, okay? We are. It might be because 76% of us pastors are struggling. I'm probably going to be writing a book for pastors. It's probably going to be my next book, Health and Wellness for Pastors, okay? I got a meeting about that next week, so pray about that, okay? You know, if we can turn the hearts of the pulpits, we can change the churches, okay? And we can change America, okay? We got to go for the pulpits. We got to go for the pastors, okay? That's where we got to go. And we got to understand this is something we struggle with. I struggle with this, okay? And I've got a ways to go myself, okay? But I'm a work in progress. In Proverbs 23:2, it says, put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Now, I used to look at that verse and it would bother me. It would bother me for two reasons. One, it sounded like a weird verse. I did not understand it, okay? Number two, I was a man given to appetite and I do not like knives around my throat, okay? So I would read that verse and think, strange verse, don't know what it means and don't want to know. And I don't know what it means and I don't want to know what it means, okay? But one day I decided I'm going to take some time and study this. I'm going to study each word in the Hebrew and I'm going to study what it says and kind of what the spirit of the proverb is. Okay, and this is what I came to as a conclusion. What it's saying is if you're a person like Steve Reynolds who struggles with their appetite, then what you got to do is you got to put a knife to your throat. Now you say, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Here's what I believe it means. Two things. One, it's serious. It is serious. All right, it's serious. See, because of fat, and only because of fat, I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. Today, I am disease-free. I am prescription-free, okay? Now, as I get older, you know, maybe some of that stuff, I'll have to deal with it, okay? But hopefully not because of being 340 pounds, okay? You know, at this point, I don't have any of that stuff. But I anticipate maybe as I get a little older or whatever, okay, that maybe I have to deal with some of this stuff. I don't know, okay? Maybe never. That'd be great if it was never. But the point was when I surrendered my fork to God and I've lost 125 pounds so far, I got rid of all those diseases. The only reason I had those diseases was because I was fat. Now, that doesn't always work, okay? My grandfather had diabetes. He was a skinny, muscular farmer. To my knowledge, never overweight his whole life. He had diabetes, okay? That's fine, okay? It's not always that simple. But the point I'm trying to make to you is this. It is serious. It's serious. And you need, the second thing is, take action. Put a knife to your throat. Do something. Take action, you know, is what he's saying. Philippians 3:19, talking about idolatry and food, it says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their what? Their belly. Whose God is their belly. Wow. That was such a clear example of me right there, okay? So identify the categories. I would ask you right now to identify the categories. What do you think is your life-dominating sin or sins? Is it alcohol? Is it food? Okay, let's go back over the list. And again, we could double this list, okay? This took me about 20 minutes to come up with. If I spent another 20 minutes, I could double this list, okay? Anything from alcohol to adultery could be addiction. Anything from Facebook to food. Anything from porn to prescription drugs. Anything from marijuana, and marijuana is very addictive, to money. Anything from being a liar, some of you are habitual liars, okay? You just lie, okay? To laziness, you're just an habitual, slothful, lazy person, okay? Sugar, man, sugar is so powerful. So many people are hooked on sugar. To smoking. Anything from sex to shopping, worry to work, cocaine to coke or whatever, okay? The list goes on and on and on, okay? I would ask you to identify what is your life-dominating sin or sins. That's what he's saying to him. And then number four, as we conclude, see the consequences. See the consequences. He says, do not mix with wine bibbers or gluttonous eaters of meat. Why? Son, listen, son, don't do this because the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. The drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. That could be financial poverty. That could be physical poverty. That could be spiritual poverty. It could be emotional poverty. And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Addictions have consequences. And what you got to understand about addictions promise things but do not deliver them. They promise things but they do not deliver them, do they? They promise us, you know, hey, if you do this, your life's going to be so much better. If you do this, you're going to, you know, have this wonderful feeling. If you do this, boy, things are going to be so good, whatever. And we begin to think like that. But the problem was it doesn't deliver. Okay? It doesn't come through. And I love the way Proverbs 7 talks about it, talking about addiction to sex. Or it says, come, let us take our fill until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. And here is this father talking to his son about sex, and he's warning him. Okay, and again, ladies, just to be clear, the book's written from a male perspective. Okay, so it's a dad talking to his son, so that's why it's saying, okay, watch out for these women or whatever. It could be, we know it's just equal the other way, okay? But it's all the context here, okay? So he says, you know, you're going to have ladies that come along, and they're going to say, hey, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. My husband's not home, you know? He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him. I think that's kind of funny, okay? He's gone, he's got lots of money, okay? And he'll come home on the appointed day. I guess it means I know he's got enough money to stay as long as he said he would stay. I guess that's what it means. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her. And here's the description, like an ox goes to the slaughter, or like a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. Underline this, he did not know it would cost his life. He did not know it would cost his life. I mean, let's be real, you didn't know when you started in that addiction, it was going to cost you your life. It's costing you your life. You're not experiencing what Jesus has for us. Okay, Jesus has for us a different agenda. What is that? The abundant life. John 10:10, the verse goes together. Jesus comes to what? To give us life, abundant life. The thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy, okay? It's keeping us from having that life. It's keeping us from having what God wants for us. And you just got to understand that you know, sex outside of marriage might look appealing, and it might provide temporary fun or closeness or intimacy or the thing that you're longing for, okay? But it's short-lived, okay? And Satan is lying to you to think it's anything but that, okay? And then addictions lead to consequences. Proverbs chapter 1 talks about wisdom, and it says, you know, Proverbs 1 introduces Proverbs and talks about wisdom and how important wisdom is. And he says, because you hated knowledge, you did not choose the fear of the Lord. Okay, what if you decide to be a fool, is what it's saying. People that hate knowledge, they don't choose to fear God, they don't listen to counsel, they despise rebuke, okay, they look down on people that rebuke them. Therefore, see the therefore? In other words, addiction leads to consequence. You're in your addiction. You're not going to change. There's a therefore for you and me. They shall eat the fruit of their own way. The New Testament version of that is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Here is the Old Testament version. They shall eat the fruit of their own way. And they're going to be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And then I love the contrast. Whoever listens to me, God says, will dwell safely and will be, I love this, secure. Isn't that a good word? Secure. Without fear of evil. My. Isn't that good stuff? Amen. Okay, I know this has been a hard message. I understand that. And I'm trying to rattle your cage today. So I don't know if I'm accomplishing it or not. Okay, but hopefully I am. Okay. But I want to conclude with a word of encouragement to you. Okay. When it comes to addiction, these are life-dominating sins. And one of the things that we're going to struggle with is relapsing. Okay. And there's a journey a lot of times in overcoming these, okay? But understand that you can overcome it. Once an alcoholic, not always an alcoholic, okay? You can become a new creature in Jesus Christ, okay? The old can pass away. Behold, all things can become new, okay? That's the word of God, all right? That's the word of God. But on that journey, as you're growing, and we call it progressive sanctification, as you're growing in Christ, remember this, the righteous man may fall seven times. Even good people, even righteous people fall sometimes. They may even fall seven times or 70 times or 700 times, okay? But here's the deal. Don't give up, get up. Don't give up, get up, okay? Rise again, okay? Rise again. Rise again. Because some of you, you're so discouraged, and I get it. I know what you mean, okay? But I just want to say to you, rise again, okay? Let's get going again. And December's a tough month. That's why these three messages are all lined up for December, okay? Every one of these. I mean, if you just look at that list there, you know, last week was conflict. I cannot tell you how many people told me, boy, I needed that message. In fact, a lot of people told me on Sunday they needed it on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, okay? It's a true story. More than one person said that to me, okay? Addictions. Man, this is the addiction season. You got a problem with shopping? You got a problem with alcohol? You got a problem with sugar? You got a problem with all this, a lot of this stuff, okay? It's everywhere, okay? It's everywhere. But you know what? Jesus is everywhere too, okay? And that's what Christmas is all about, okay? And he came to set us free, okay? He came to set us free. And so get back up. Get back up. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you that there is victory in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this father who talked to his kid about addiction. May we talk to our children. And Lord, some of us here today, we're struggling because our kids are in addiction. They're having a rough time, even though we did talk to them. And Lord, we pray for every situation like that today. Lord, just encourage parents and Lord, just help these kids to do right, Lord. And we just thank you so much for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.